to the first episode of Rhea's Fine Arts Studio podcast. I'm Rhea, and I'm here with my brother Chaz, my sister Shelley, and my sister-in-law Jenny, and we're going to talk about art. Today we'd like to talk about telling stories through art, and we're just going to kind of have a discussion amongst ourselves and say whatever comes to our minds. Does anyone have any thoughts to start off the discussion?
The first thing I think of with art telling stories is like children's picture books. You know, before kids can even read, you can tell a story to them with just pictures, and it works remarkably well.
That used to be my favorite kind of story as a little kid, the ones that had no words at all, but just had pictures, and you turn the page and be able to follow the story. Yeah, so I think right from the start, we're introducing the idea to our kids that that art tells a story. And I think they kind of grow up with that attitude and knowing that intrinsically.
Several years ago, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to be an artist because honestly, I didn't really see the point. You know, I was like, well, drawing pictures, that's good, you know, doing paintings. But then I was listening to a radio program called Radio West. And there was an artist on there who talked about how they tell stories through their art, and they'll see someone who's struggling or whatever, and they want to do that person's portrait. And that really inspired me. And I thought, oh, you could actually make a difference through your art, you know, which is why I did the painting called The Forgotten, which is of a homeless man laying in the street. And I just thought that was such a neat thing that you can share that message through art.
And that's been one of them that people have stopped the quickest and just, whoa, you know, is it's like it shouts its message. It's one of them one of the first ones that people stop to look at too. It's like the message that's in it just kind of shouts out, you know, people walking by and seeing that, and whoa, you know, that's a homeless guy on the street. And instantly they start drawing message out of it, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the great things about art is how much message you can carry in a picture.
Yeah. Another one that I think is called The Soldier's Father.
The Soldier's Father's been a very popular one.
Yeah, I was really excited to do that one because I wanted to tell the story of what war does to the family members of people who are at war. You know, we always think about the soldiers and how, you know, horrible it is for them, but the family, I think, goes through a lot. You know, the person who's out there could die, and they have to think about that every day.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of times they go through more than the soldier, because I think the soldiers are still young, and they're still feeling kind of a little bit of the glory side of things, a little bit
and
of,
the
you know,
invincible.
Kind of the I'm invincible stage of their lives. And you know, obviously they know that it is a dangerous situation. They could die, but their parents have been through a lot more, have seen a lot more of life, know how fragile it is, and know how easily they could lose their child this way.
Yeah, I think you drew that. You're talking about the soldier's father, right?
Yeah.
I think you drew that at a really good time, too, when, like, everyone was going to Iraq, and lots of people saw it, and they could totally identify with it, you know?
Well, and I think another side of it, too, is that it wasn't an American dad, you know, that's...
That's true.
He's obviously not.
He's Iraqi, which puts a whole different twist on the story, and clearly you could take it whichever political
was
side you want to, but...
Iraqian?
I think so, wasn't he?
Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was supposed to be from Iraq.
Yeah, which we don't think a lot of times about the Iraqi soldiers, let alone the Iraqi soldiers' parents.
Yeah.
You know, we think, oh, you know, either bring our soldiers home or keep our soldiers out there. And, you know, there's a whole other side to the story that
we lots of times don't even think about.
And I don't know enough about the political side of it to know what's really, really fully going on down there. But it certainly brings, you know, to my attention, there are other sides to this.
And I don't think you have to know the politics. You just have to know that people are people everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the, you know, one of the big things that people get out of that. you know, I've found in music it's a bit of a challenge and yet a fun challenge too to try to get a message into music, especially since I don't have words. You know, most of what I do is piano solo music, and trying to put a message in it is difficult, but it's still possible, I think. And I think it's kind of similar with art, because if it's a big, like a big question or a big issue that you're trying to address in the painting, you know, you've got a lot to fit in there, and yet usually doing it in simplicity is what carries the message the best.
And when you mentioned music, it made me think about, as a listener of music, I often like to put my own meaning into a song I'm hearing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe they're saying something about, I don't know, a big event that happened or whatever, but to me, it's about running or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it means something for my life, which I think people do the same thing with art.
Yeah. I was just wondering how you feel about that, you know, when you paint something with a certain story in mind and then someone looks at it and comes out with some different meaning that you didn't really intend. How does that, I don't know, how do you feel about that?
I think that's really exciting because it means that the viewer is becoming a part of the process. You know what I mean? They're becoming a part of, almost part of the art itself.
See, that's really cool, yeah. Because then it's like, you know, while the art is there and it's kind of stable as it is, the most of really what the art is going to be is what people are getting out of it and the way they feel when they see it and why they feel the way they do when they see it.
Yeah. I remember the one I did of the coyote. I took it to the Fairview Art Museum. And the guy who runs the place, whatever you call that, he was really excited about it. And I didn't have a title for it yet. And I was thinking about calling it Not Alone or something like that. I can't remember. But he said he wanted to call it Silence and Light, which was a totally different. He was like seeing something totally different than I had even thought of. So I hadn't even thought about how silent the forest is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was cool. I was like, wow, okay, you know?
You're like, let's do that.
That's cool.
That's cool, because it kind of gives it three dimensions in a way, you know? It's a two-dimensional art piece, but there's another dimension, too, that everybody's going to see it differently on.
So I remember when I was younger and doing art a little more than I do now, but I would, you know, I would try and make a... You know, making art, like, I remember one stained glass, I think I made out of stained glass, and I had a definite meaning behind it, but I wanted to hide it. I didn't want anyone to be able to find out the meaning.
Yeah.
On purpose, and I've done a couple of poems that way, that, you know, I have a meaning for in it, but I want it to be just for me.
Poetry's really fun for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that now that I think about it a little bit, it sounds kind of selfish.
Well, no, I don't think so, though, because I think part of it, too, is while you're hiding a message inside it, you're also creating words that open a door for all kinds of interpretations. And so somebody else, you know, while you may be thinking of it as, you know, this is about how wonderful I felt with my newborn baby or something like that, somebody else may be reading it and not even notice anything about a baby at all, but they may be thinking about, you know, how wonderful it felt when they were in the mountains and you know, felt like they became in touch with God and stuff like that. Totally different message, but it's being conveyed through the same words. So I think even doing it that way, trying to hide the message in, opens
still get something out of it.
It still allows others to get their own message out of it.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, I think of that sometimes with a lot of like Peter Breinholt's music.
Yeah.
He's got his words I do not understand.
Yeah,
most
yeah. One lots of times I'm like, what does he mean?
One
by
of
that?
Them, I was like, well, this is a cool song. It's beautiful. I had no idea what it was about. I'd heard all the words, but then somebody told me, oh, that's about his mission. you know. And I was like, oh. So I listened to it again. Okay.
There's a lot of songs I listen to where the words really don't make sense. Mm-hmm. You look at the lyrics and you're like, that doesn't make sense.
But really, they must have some kind of meaning to the, to the creator of it.
It's like they have a hidden meaning or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's this.
You know, sometimes I do it on purpose. Like, if there's a song that has words that I don't really care for, I'll just sort of ignore the words and make it mean what I want it to mean.
Oh, yeah. Detach the obvious meaning and attach less obvious meaning that works for you. That's true. Yeah. You know, that makes sense. That's a lot what happens with a lot of radio songs where it's a love song, but somebody turns it into something more spiritual, you know? And, I think that... I think that happens a lot of times.
I like to do that.
Yeah, that's fun to do. So, Shelley, you're a dancer. That's a form of art.
It is. Dance is notorious for telling stories.
It really is.
Yeah.
Have you drawn any dancers?
Let me think. I did once. I haven't done anything with it.
But you've drawn me, so I'm just kidding.
I drew a guy just sort of dancing, and there were just lights around him and behind him. And
oh, cool.
That's as far as I've gone with that. And then one time, a long time ago, I drew Native Americans dancing around a fire. I think there was a fire.
Oh.
I lost that one. I don't know what happened to it.
You probably threw it away because you didn't think it was perfect.
Probably. That's just what I do.
You know, and that's an interesting side of art. Some people have the attitude of, you know, if something's less than perfect, they'll, you know, just kind of file it to the side and send it on to posterity. But isn't your approach, Rhea, kind of, you don't want to attach your name to something that's not reflecting
your art.
Yeah, I don't want people to see my mistakes. I'm terrible.
Well, you know, I think that's just like an author typing up a full page of something and then just crumpling it up and throwing it away. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. You must hate it when people look over your shoulder then.
Okay.
I hate that when I'm making a website because I'm like, no, this isn't how it's going to look. No.
What is it about that?
And then they decide they like what they're seeing and I'm like, no, I don't like this and it's a problem.
That's like because that's what I did on my blog. I put that I was going to post my progress of a certain drawing I was doing. And then the next day, I was like, never mind, I'm not going to do that, because I don't want anyone to see it till it's done.
No, it's awful.
You know, and I have a song accompaniment piece that I've been working on that I decided everything I do to develop this into a full arrangement, original arrangement of this song, I'll post on my blog, on my podcast, and so that people can kind of see the whole process. And this has been one of the hardest things to arrange for, simply because it is like somebody's looking over my shoulder. Not as bad as that, because nobody's in the room at the time, but just knowing that this is all being thrown out for everybody to see, it's harder. It's really harder to do anything decent with it.
Yeah. Become all paranoid and
you do. I wonder if that's because of the right brain thing. Because the right brain thing is like the whole timeless, deeply concentrated on this thing. And the instant you get one other person involved, the dynamic completely changes. And the subconscious, which I don't think is a right brain thing at all, suddenly takes over and drowns out a lot of that right brain ability, I think.
Interesting.
That's my guess.
That makes sense. Because when you're doing it on your own, you're just like in this zone, you know?
Yeah.
It's like nothing else exists except you, and that for you music for me would be the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if someone else is there, all of a sudden you can't, that would just throw
me. It changes things. Yeah. It just completely changes the mindset.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to meaning in art. So what do you guys think about things that are not just meaning based on what's kind of in the picture, but on kind of deeper things like archetypes and symbols in art. and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Historically, that's, you know, people have always put symbolism in their art.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was more familiar with, you know, none of us have a, who are doing this podcast, let me just say, have an education in art history.
Yeah.
So.
And even still, my, you know, even my learning in music history didn't say much about that at all.
Didn't I tell you about that?
Shelly's been secretly studying art history.
Getting degrees.
Just getting secret degrees.
Spontaneous degree.
Look up on Marty. I think I'll go get a degree in art history today. Go to Walmart and pick one up.
I just buy the paper.
That's where I would get a degree, you know, in art history. I'd just go to Walmart.
There you go.
Get what you pay for, right?
You know, that just made me think of another thing, and I want to kind of touch on this on my podcast at some point, although I'm not sure how to go about it, but when I was first starting music theory, and I might say here that I was not a fan of music theory. I didn't like it at all. While I was in that, I started getting some ideas of, you know, I really liked the idea of being able to get messages into a piece. And I wanted to be able to find ways of putting messages more, how would you say it, more concentrated into the music in some way, you know, and obviously without words, being able to fit a very deep or specific message without words. And so I started thinking about, oh, wouldn't it be cool if there was some way you could actually communicate using music and actually be able to convey a specific message by either a musical phrase or a certain musical pattern, something like that. And I never fully developed it into anything, but man, I've thought about it for years, you know, so
trying to do that. Yeah, I wonder if you could do that with art even.
Oh,
know?
Absolutely.
Like,
it would almost be easier.
Specific themes.
Yeah. And I was even thinking it would be cool to like create an entire language. And this is a little off the deep end, you know, in terms of the, of getting messages and creating messages with art. But, you know, I thought, what if it's something that when you wrote it, it would look like a piece of art, and when you spoke it or had it communicated through a piano or whatever, it would just sound like music, and yet it would be conveying a very specific message. And
oh, yeah.
I always thought that would be fun to do.
That would be so hard.
A lot of work. Yeah.
Years.
It seriously would. And the hardest thing about it is, even once you get the basic idea down of how it could work to make it so it would sound good and would look good, the rest after that would be all about language and the development of grammar and the development of all that stuff with language. So I don't know whether that would be worth it or not. I don't know, but fun to think about anyway.
Something to think about, yeah. I know. I mean, there are ways of communicating things through art in sort of subtle ways, because I know color can be used. You can use warm colors to create a warm feeling or even a passionate feeling, or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Cool colors to create sort of,
lighter,
you know,
feelings.
Yeah. But, you know, to go even deeper than that would be a lot of fun to try.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things, you know, I mean, using symbols in an artistic way, say, for example, I don't know, a dove. Okay, that's an obvious one, a very big one. But to portray a dove in some way that's subtle, and with the colors that you're using, the colors to convey the emotions and so forth that you're trying to, I think there could be a lot of message carried just by doing that kind of thing, you know.
And the hard thing is the viewers would have to be educated enough to be able to read those messages, because I didn't used to know, you know, a lot of the symbolism that I know now, and I don't even know that much.
Yeah, and I think that you can go on to the next level of it though too, and I think growing up, all of us, because we're living in a culture you know, and a very broad culture too, a very exposed culture to many different things. I think we grow up with psychological connections to different things, you know. When somebody sees a dove, they don't have to know the history of the dove in symbology in order to when they see a dove in a picture to think, oh, that's something about peace or something like that. You know, I think there's things that have been so ingrained in us that they're just subconscious. When we see them, we have certain subconscious reactions.
That's true. We're not even aware of the symbolism that we experience every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Money itself is a symbol, you know.
Yeah, it is. And it conveys an emotion, you know, and a reaction, you know, and any kind of reaction implies that there's some kind of symbolism in there that we're drawing from this.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, do you know anything about any symbolism in the dancing that you do?
I don't really know history behind the steps and things, but they have the weirdest names for the set dances, so you know that they come from something. Like, there's one called Hurry the Jug, and then there's one called the Rambling Rake, and then there's the Drunken Gauger, and you're like, that had to come from somewhere. They're the weirdest names. Well, I'm learning one called Planksty Drury right now, and it's like,
oh, wow.
What? You know?
That sounds like such old English type of sound. I guess it would be old Celtic, but...
I know. Yeah, probably old Celtic.
Well, and two, I remember you mentioning that the reason they keep their arms down had something to do with when they were oppressed and weren't allowed to dance, they would find subtle ways to dance that couldn't be conveyed as dancing.
That's why we don't use our arms, so it just looks like you're bouncing. It doesn't look like you're actually dancing. That's the history behind it, actually.
And see, I think in order to understand a lot of times some of the messages trying to be portrayed in art, it helps at least to know some of that history. And, to learn some of that history can bring more meaning into it. You know, just that's knowing true. That makes me think, wow, I want to watch it again and you know, see how that plays a part in it all.
That's true. A lot of the Renaissance artists, they put a lot of symbolism in their paintings, and a lot of it is, you know, Christian symbolism. So if you were to study Christianity deeply, you'd probably have a lot better appreciation for Renaissance art.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I once heard it said that, how was that about architecture? That the architecture is frozen music or something to that effect.
Oh, wow.
And something to the idea of how, you know, it's got all the same properties, but it's solid, frozen in one moment of time and in every moment in time, really. And I got thinking, wow, that's an interesting idea. Because, you know, music has its flow and it's got its foundation, it's got its form, it's got its building blocks, it's got its artistic ornateness, decoration, I guess, you know, and both music and architecture have all those elements. The only difference is one is based in time and the other is based in three dimensions, I guess.
That's interesting you say that, because when I'm creating a piece of art, my goal is usually to capture a moment in time, a moment of emotion or, you know, of beauty or whatever. But yeah, that's interesting. You talk about a frozen moment.
You know, and that brings
nice art as well as architecture.
And that brings out another thought that I just had, how I've noticed you said a lot of times in your blog that, you know, you changed the sky because you didn't like it or it didn't really convey what you were trying to portray, or you changed a face because it didn't quite have the expression that you were looking for. And that's got me thinking, you know, these days with what you can do with like digital photography is really, you can do anything with it now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, well, if you alter it, then it's not real photography and so forth. And, And I can understand what they're saying there. But at the same time, and I think this works with art too. I think a lot of times what you're trying to capture is not what is there. What you're trying to capture is what you feel when you look at it. And just snapping a photo, you're going to look at that photo and go, that's not it. That's just not it. And so if you alter it, if you alter it to capture what you were feeling when you saw it, then in some ways that is truer to art and photography than was the snapshot.
Well, that right there is what makes it art.
Yeah.
You know? A snapshot versus art.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because if you're just trying to, you know, capture, I don't know, what, you know, the stuff that's there, okay. But that's not usually the purpose of photography. You're
that's,
not trying
yeah, that's
to just,
not art, I don't think.
You know?
I think art is an artist or photography or whatever, photographer or whatever, trying to portray something and successfully portraying it and sharing part of themselves and something they felt or feel.
And if what they're portraying is simply just what they're seeing when they look at it, then people aren't going to be all that interested because they could walk by and see the same thing. But just by, you know, like say you're drawing a picture of a sunset. Well, anybody can see a sunset. But
that's the thing. You want to show them what you see when you look at that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, that's what I did. I just drew exactly what I saw, you know. And it wasn't until I started to...
Well, that's all they taught really, you, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a good stepping stone.
Until I started to really put feeling into what I was drawing and, you know, changing it to what I wanted it to portray, that I really started to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Because then you gain ownership of it, too. It's not just a copy of what you've already seen or what somebody else has done or what you already had, but it's a new birth, you know.
I mean, here's a funny example. Right now I'm doing a painting of a Native American man on a vision quest, and the model is a photograph of Shelley.
Yeah.
But I just needed sort of the shadows and the pose.
And probably the long hair, too.
And it is not a girl anymore.
And it's what?
It's not a blonde white girl anymore.
He so there you
blonde,
go.
He's a white girl into a Native American old guy.
He's not old, but he's pretty buff.
Okay. you aren't making him shirtless, are you?
No. Okay. He does have a loincloth on, though.
That'd be embarrassing to be able to point. That used to be me.
But yeah, I just needed, you know, to see how the body moves in certain directions. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's funny,
yeah, that's
though.
A great example, though.
Okay. But the story I want to tell is of Native American history and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not of a blonde white girl.
Well, and the cool thing about that, too, I think another cool thing about that is that, you know, for example, you're telling history. Now, most people that see the art will already know the history, basically. But history doesn't always portray emotion, and it doesn't always portray what you see in history.
Or the personal experiences of individuals.
Exactly. You know, you'll hear of there was this war, there was this instance, and
this day,
you know, we all memorize the dates and the names of the people. But when you see it like that, and portrayed in art, you're like, whoa, that guy's really searching for something. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is he searching for? Oh, my goodness, I've been searching for something, too. You know?
Relate.
And you can relate.
But anyway, because again, people are always people, no matter when they lived and where, and, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's an important role that art plays, is helping us as humans to see who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, feel like we're all one people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that we're all... And I think sometimes it's easy for people to kind of... There's those people, and then there's me and my experience and my life. And when you can see somebody else in theirs, and sometimes art is a way to do that, to show, oh, you know, they did have a story. They did have an experience and, you know, a life, you know, that was more than just somebody else in the world, you know.
And they had some of the same experiences as me.
Yeah. Very closely relatable experiences.
Yeah.
They looked at the same sun setting every night and same moon.
Oh, yeah. The sky. They had the same, you know, feelings of love and fear and hate and the
reverence
for nature and all that stuff. I'd love to see people's comments. I'd love to hear other people's take on this, because I think this is a subject that everybody has feelings about, especially those that are in any kind of creative field or that enjoy doing creative things.
Everybody sees art, you know, and listens to music and stuff. Let us know your opinions about this. You know, how do you feel about telling stories through art or symbolism in art and stuff like that?
Or hearing stories through art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, by the way, I want to say to listeners, these people who are talking are people who will also be blogging on my blog from now on. So these are the voices behind the writings. Okay, well, thanks for listening, everybody.